Young's Family is the true-to-life story of your friends, the Youngs. We'll be with them in just a moment after this message from our sponsor. It is almost dinner time at the Trents, and Carter's parents are waiting for Mr. Young to call. This is to be no ordinary visit, and Mr. Trent is looking forward to it with a sort of grim satisfaction, for he believes, in spite of his lawyer's report, that the Youngs are after his money. Mrs. Trent is walking restlessly about the room while her husband is planning to match wits with Sam Young.
Well, maybe you'd better go ahead and have your dinner, my dear, while I talk to this fellow.
No, I haven't the slightest intention of eating dinner before he gets here. I couldn't. Besides, Horace, I think a woman's judgment of him will be of importance.
Oh, nonsense. I don't need anybody's judgment. I know exactly what sort he's going to be.
Oh?
Won't be a long interview, my dear, I promise you. I'll bring the matter to a head in no time, I assure you.
I hope you have better luck than I did, Mr. Trent.
Well, I can't do any worse, Bruce.
You'd have had to be there yourself to realize how hard it was to put your proposition before them at all.
I know. Mrs. Young had charming manners. You told me all about it. But when I think of the way that woman and her daughter have spun a web for our Carter...
A carefully designed web, Mr. Taylor. But I thought you'd be wise enough not to be caught in it. Seems I was wrong. They fooled you as thoroughly as they fooled Carter.
You expect to hear from Carter on this, don't you?
Yes, I expect to hear from him. But what he has to say will make very little difference once we have an arrangement with Mr. Young.
Oh, I hate to think of Carter staying there in Elmwood, anywhere near these people where that girl can get at him again.
I don't think you need worry about that, Mrs. Trent. I don't think she has the slightest idea of getting at him.
That's preposterous. Of course she'll try to get him to marry her.
She won't do anything of the kind, my dear, once an agreement is reached. Now, these people are playing a game, and the girl is part of the game. And they will be reasonable once we lay our cards on the table.
Horace, you really think they will be?
Well, of course. I know people of this kind.
But suppose they're not reasonable. Suppose they insist that this dreadful daughter of theirs actually go through with the marriage to Carter.
But Mrs. Trent...
Oh, I know. You don't think she's dreadful. Well, I suppose in some cheap way she must be attractive to have managed to fool both you and Carter the way she has. Horace, suppose they're not reasonable.
Oh, right then. I will find ways to make them reasonable, my dear. Now, please don't worry. Come in.
Mr. Samuel Young is here to see you, Mr. Trent.
Ah, yes. Well, my dear, here he is.
You know, Horace, I feel a little nervous.
Well, you needn't. He is the one who's going to feel nervous. He doesn't know what our attitude is going to be.
Do you want me to stay, Mr. Trent? I can come in later.
Well, I think perhaps you'd better wait in the next room. I'll call you when I want you. All right, Williams. Ask Mr. Young to come in.
Yes, Mr. Trent. Right this way, sir. This is Mr. Young.
We'll be back with the Youngs in just a moment. Sam Young has just been announced on his visit to the Trents. He walks into Mr. Trent's study with no suspicion of his host's real attitude toward him.
Well, Mr. Young.
Mr. Trent, it's a great pleasure to meet you, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, this is my wife, Mr. Young.
How do you do?
Why, I'd know you anywhere, Mrs. Trent. Your son looks so much like you. But I suppose you've been told that 100 times.
Yes, I've heard it before.
Yes. I didn't expect to meet you quite so soon, Mr. Young.
You've got nothing on me, Mr. Trent. You know, it was one of the biggest surprises of my life when you invited me here this evening.
Oh, well. Won't you sit down, please?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Trent. Well, it's a great pleasure to meet Carter's mother and father. You know, we think the world of your son. I only hope you'll like my little girl as much as we like your boy.
Well, we were somewhat surprised at the announcement in the papers.
Well, Mr. Trent, you mean you didn't know that Carter was engaged to Peggy?
No, we didn't know it.
Well, now, that's too bad. Springing it on you like that. I'm mighty sorry about that, Mr. Trent. I thought, of course, Carter had written to you about it. He certainly should have.
Yes, he wrote a great deal about your daughter, Mr. Young. But I didn't take it very seriously. And I know that Mrs. Trent didn't. I needn't tell you that the newspaper publicity was not precisely pleasing to us.
Oh, I can understand that. I can understand that, certainly, particularly if it came in the nature of a surprise.
Well, it certainly was a surprise, Mr. Young.
Yes, but you see, it isn't only that. We have fought shy of newspaper publicity for a good many years. In fact, it's almost a phobia with me, dodging the reporters.
Well, you must realize, Mr. Trent, that you're such a prominent citizen that anything affecting you or your family is front page news.
Well, Carter seemed rather upset about the publicity, too.
Well, Peggy and her mother were upset in much the same way, sir. You know, we haven't had the reporters hounding us the way they doubtless hound you, Mr. Trent, but nevertheless, we consider our private lives just as private as you consider yours.
Well, that's hard to understand, Mr. Young. How you can compare lives like yours, obscure lives in a country town, to ours. How can you understand the annoyance, the embarrassment of publicity?
Well, we may not have had much publicity, Mrs. Trent, at least up to now, but I do think we can understand. You see, the people in Elmwood are as important to us as the people in Chicago and in the whole country are to you. And I repeat, our right to privacy is just as important to us.
I see. Well, now, in view of that, one is bound to wonder who gave the story to the papers.
Oh, well, I don't suppose anybody had to give it out to you, with Peggy sporting an engagement ring and the news sweeping a small town like Elmwood. It was just natural that some of the young reporters on the Free Press got wind of it and played it up.
Yes, perhaps. You know, of course, that Carter isn't in a position to marry for some time.
But he's still a young man, younger than his years, really. And we feel that an early marriage would be most unfortunate.
Oh, I know. And between us, that's one of the main reasons why I gave my consent to the whole thing.
Well, just what do you mean by that, Mr. Young?
Well, they actually consulted me, you know, which isn't too usual in this day and age. But we're an old-fashioned family, Mr. Trent, and it was necessary to obtain my consent before Peggy could receive an engagement ring from your son.
Well, there was no question of you withholding that consent, was there?
Oh, there certainly was. I almost refused to let them have a formal engagement. My daughter's very young, you know. She's 17. Just a little girl.
Yes, Carter wrote us that she was quite young.
And I don't want her getting married for a long time yet. I'm sure you don't want your son getting married for quite a few years.
We certainly do not.
Good, then we agree on that. When they came to ask my consent, I felt I was pretty safe in letting them be engaged because the engagement would probably run for a good many years, which would mean one of two things. Either it wouldn't last, or it would last and would grow into something really strong and permanent.
It wouldn't last, Mr. Young. You know that as well as we do.
Well, now, in any case, I don't want my son to marry anyone for the present.
Well, that's what I've been saying. I feel the same way you do. That's why I think this thing will work itself out. And seeing the way Peggy and Carter feel about each other, I shouldn't be at all surprised if it does turn into the real thing, eventually.
You know, I find it very difficult to talk to you, Mr. Young.
Oh, you mean I've done all the talking. Well, I apologize. I certainly didn't intend to monopolize the conversation.
Mr. Young, tell me one thing. What made you call me up today?
Well, perhaps that was a little presumptuous of me. But you see, my former partner, Curtis Bradley, who's here in Chicago, too, kept telling me that you might think it peculiar that Peggy's father was here in town on the very day this story broke and never called you up. After all, Mr. Trent, I don't want you to think that we're not pleased about all this.
Oh, I'm sure that you're pleased, Mr. Young. Very pleased indeed. And now, don't you think we've sparred long enough? So why don't we get down to brass tacks and begin telling the truth?
Mr. Mr. Young sits there, completely bewildered at Mr. Trent's words. How will he answer them? How will he act when he finds out what Mr. Trent is driving at? Now, this message from our sponsor. Us next week for Pepper Young's Family. Lee Stevens speaking. Pepper Young's Family is a production of Nana Radio.